The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I don't know if I plead today, but if I do, I plead not guilty. And I get photographed. Isn't that nice? A mugshot for the man who probably put the worst criminals of the 20th century in jail. You find a prosecutor who has a better record of mine in the last 100 years. I bet you don't. Or a mayor. And they're going to degrade themselves by doing a mugshot of me. Like, people will recognize me. And now, of course, they can fingerprint me, but I've been fingerprinted 150 times, so... This will turn out exactly like the FBI search turned out. They're lying. I'm telling the truth. They're destroying my right to counsel, my right to be a lawyer. They're destroying his right to counsel. It's not accidental that they've indicted all his lawyers. Never heard of that before in America. Now they've indicted people in this case. I don't even know who they are. These are just regular people making a normal living. They're going to bankrupt them. They won't convict them.
America's mayor. That's Rudy Giuliani, of course, one of Donald Trump's attorneys. They're going after Trump. They want to put Trump behind bars, try to get anything to stick of the 70-some felony charges, the 700 potential years in prison. Just throw it all at him. Try to put him in jail and then go after the attorneys as well. Never before happened in the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience, and it certainly is growing, especially after the last 2 days. We're still trying to recover from the beehive of activity that's been going on here on campus since Sunday. A wonderful few days with General Michael Flynn. We said goodbye to him late last night, and now we're back at it. And as you'll see, even from today's show, we're going to be making good use of some of the messages that he delivered while on campus. We've got plenty more footage that we can put out there in the days and even weeks ahead, so you can be looking forward to that. First things first, you get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com and you can watch the live stream every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. And you can also watch it, of course, over at Rumble. I think last count, yesterday's part two interview with General Flynn is up over 150,000 views. So by far and away, our most popular video production, at least with respect to this show. I think, maybe that's not true. We used to be on YouTube a few times, but in any event, it's been well received and we've gotten lots of comments. So, and we've told General Flynn about this and he's very happy to see that the interview was well received. Really some breaking news in that interview, particularly yesterday's, and we'll be trying to break it up even further into smaller sound bites so that we can tweet it out and hopefully get some more positive attention or just more attention on this insider's view of all that happened in that that transformation period, that fundamental transformation of the United States. So the Rumble channel is at the Trumpet Daily. Just go / the Trumpet Daily. And you can get to our Rumble channel if you do view the show on Rumble. Of course, give us the thumbs up Rumble, share the program, leave a comment, do all of those good things. So, speaking of General Flynn, here's just a shorter bit from that cold open that we used yesterday on the show, clip 9.
This is 5 January 2017. So, the Obama administration was trying to do everything that they could to undermine everything, to undermine, basically to usurp the incoming Trump administration. That was the day to me, 5 January 2017, is a sort of the official start date of the coup led by Barack Obama against the United States of America to undermine a sitting president, a duly elected sitting president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And here we are, August 2023, and we're still in the throes of that coup.
And of course, I mean, to be precise, that coup was in motion even before January 5, 2017. But that's right when Obama and his people, they're about to leave office and they've got to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump. And as part of that, they destroyed that man's career, nearly ruined his life in court, just like they're trying to do with Rudy Giuliani. Lawfare. Lawfare. There's an Issues and Insights article that says a coup d'etat is when a small group of people suddenly try to take power and subjugate a nation by force. To subjugate the nation by force. They're pulling out all the stops now. It says here, a coup de public is when a small group of people already in power try to further subjugate an entire population by methodically taking away whatever rights they may have left. That's what you're seeing here. That they're indicting people like Rudy Giuliani for the thought crime of thinking that the 2020 election was stolen, which it was. Which it absolutely was. And good for John Eastman. He's another one. He's already had the mugshot taken. And these reporters hounding him. Do you still believe it was stolen? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. It says here, that global sense of unease, that nearly audible universal skin crawl taking place across the planet, that unquestionable deprivation of the right to ask questions, that which is happening right now, that is the coup de public in action. See, they're in power, so it's no longer a coup d'etat. They have the power. They control all of these levers of power in government and even beyond that. But a coup de public is when a small group of people that are already in power try to further subjugate, try to further persecute the entire population that they control. It says here, in a run-of-the-mill coup d'etat, it is axiomatic that the people staging the coup seize the radio station, usually even before they track down and meet hook the unfortunate great leader of the people and terror of the nation's enemies and president for life, and replace him with some other grand high dirtbag, it says. It says from Guatemala to Gabon, from Albania to Zimbabwe, from Congo to Congo to the Congo, taking control of the information infrastructure of the nation has historically been a key component to any successful coup. It says, in a sense, a coup is the opposite of a revolution in that it thrives not on the active involvement of the citizenry, but its passive isolation, unlike in popular uprisings and protests. It says, and if instead of overthrowing a government, you did this to ensure a government's survival and expansion, the public be damned, it says, then you would not have a coup d'etat, but a coup de public. So you get the idea from this piece at Issues and Insights. I'll just give you a bit more from the conclusion. Well, first of all, just listen. I think this is even from earlier today. This is CNN. We're trying to conceal their laughter as they show mugshots of Trump's advisors, or in the case of John Eastman, Trump's attorney. This is clip 6.
As we are speaking here, we are just receiving now into CNN the first mugshots from the folks who surrendered today. That is John Eastman you're seeing there on the screen, I believe. And that is the first of the two mugshots that we've received. We also have a mugshot here from Scott Hall, who is one of the other co-defendants in this case. These are the first looks that we're getting of what we could potentially be seeing for several other people this week, including a former president. I mean, it's extraordinary.
In the case of John Eastman, it appears he wore his suit and tie for his mugshot. Sometimes in the county jail, they have to put on, if they're being detained, how long they might actually be wearing prison garb.
These are some really sick people. Chuckling away at these extraordinary, unprecedented events, going after one of the most distinguished attorneys. That man right there, Eastman, one of the most distinguished constitutional scholars in the nation. Rudy Giuliani, you could argue that he's the most famous mayor in the nation, rallying the entire nation, not just New York after the attack on 9/11, but rallying the nation. I mean, there was a moment there following 9/11 where you actually saw unity in the United States. And a lot of that had to do with Rudy Giuliani. He's put some of the most hardened and dangerous criminals behind bars, Rudy has. And now they try to put him behind bars. And he's, as he said there in that opening monologue that we gave to you, or that cold open, the ones that don't have the resources, the money, that like Donald Trump has, well, they're just going to destroy them financially. The process is the crime. The process is the punishment, I should say. These people are guilty of crimes, the ones attacking Donald Trump, the enemy. It says here, this is back to that Issues and Insights piece, this coup is not one of bullets, but of butter, brains, and banishment. It says it does not promise an escape from the tyranny of the past, but brazenly proclaims a new tyranny under which people will be forcibly cared for from cradle to grave. It's a communist insurrection. General Flynn says, he says it started on January 5th, 2017. But of course, as we know, they were plotting. They were plotting the moment that Donald Trump came down those escalators. It says here, the American Revolution revolved around individuals asserting their rights to create a new system of governance, we the people. The coup de publique carries a diametrically different core belief and will result in a final soul-crushing status for all humans. You were the people. You were the people. But now we have control. And of course, the regime media, they're in on the coup de publique. They're in on it. Barely able to conceal their laughter, wishing that they could be in orange jumpsuits as well for the mugshot. As I say, John Eastman, coming out of the courthouse yesterday, he stood his ground. This is clip four.
Do you still think the election was stolen?
Absolutely.
Still.
No question in my mind.
It represents a crossing of the Rubicon for our country, implicating the fundamental First Amendment right to petition the government for redress of grievances. As troubling, it targets attorneys for their zealous advocacy on behalf of their clients, something attorneys are ethically bound to provide, and which was attempted here by formally challenging the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, an opportunity never afforded them or their clients in the Fulton County Superior Court. I am confident that when the law is faithfully applied in this proceeding, all of my co-defendants and I will be fully vindicated.
There's John Eastman defending himself, saying that he still believes the election was stolen and that he will prevail. I mean, he's probably got some resources. Same with Rudy Giuliani. Of course, Donald Trump does. So they'll fight it out. They'll defend themselves. General Flynn, I mean, they wiped him out. He had to sell his house and move to Florida. He had to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars. He told me yesterday he had to pay $100,000 just to come before the grand jury there in Georgia. They actually dragged General Flynn into this. The fourth indictment. And it's just, okay, I guess I got to go and represent myself or get some attorneys to help. That's expensive. As I say, that's part of the punishment. Just force them into submission. Threaten, in the case of General Flynn, threaten his son. Threaten his family. This is just routine for the communists. They're in control. I've played you those clips before from Dershowitz. He's a liberal, but he sees what's happening. And he knows attorneys that just don't want to defend Donald Trump because they know that if you defend the bad orange man, you become a target yourself. And that's all part of the plan. Just go after Donald Trump with all the indictments, the 70-some felony charges, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in prison, and now go after everyone who's associated with him as well. I mean, there's really, you put him in prison, it's all, it's just like the president keeps saying, it's all intended to prevent him from becoming president in 2024. Do it by either putting him behind bars, do it by just dragging this out to where he can't concentrate on campaigning. I mean, the way it looks now, he doesn't even need to campaign. His numbers just keep going up with each indictment. But this is their aim. This is their aim. Just keep him and put all of these stamps on his back. Indictment one, indictment two, indictment three. And of course, they think that eventually, I'm talking about the radical left here, they think that eventually the American people will wake up and realize just how bad and evil Donald Trump is. Well, the ordinary people that are being crushed under this coup de public, they see who the real criminals are. Donald Trump certainly does as well. Listen to him. This is from a little over a week ago, clip seven.
They don't want me to speak about a rigged election. They don't want me to speak about it. Whereas I have freedom of speech, First Amendment. How can my corrupt political opponent, crooked Joe Biden, put me on trial during an election campaign that I'm winning by a lot, but forcing me nevertheless to spend time and money away from the campaign trail in order to fight bogus, made-up accusations and charges? That's what they're doing.
Bogus, made-up accusations. He's completely right. That's what this is. This is their strategy. This is their strategy. And it makes you wonder, once they realize the indictments won't work, what are they going to do next year? There's already the talk of another COVID strain, putting masks back on. They've had a track record of taking to the streets, even burning down cities, to further their aims, their purposes. Those soldiers, Obama's soldiers, they were ready to roll in 2020, just in case Donald Trump pulled it off. As it was, the communist left, they were able to complete the steal. But those soldiers were ready. Time magazine wrote about it. Listen to the, even despite all this, this is Donald Trump on Truth Social. I think this was earlier today or maybe yesterday. I mean, these people do, the true leaders, they're not perfect. None of them are. But the ones that actually care about their country and have the ability to lead people, they're not afraid. They're standing firm against this communist infiltration, this communist attack, this coup. In the throes of a coup, Trump says here, for the first time in 3 years, brave American patriots will be able, in court, to show how the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. He's actually looking forward to getting into court, to getting all the discovery. Think about, particularly with respect to this fourth indictment from the crazy woman in Georgia, she has to basically say or prove in a court of law that the 2020 election was perfect, perfect, and that Trump said it was rigged and he knew it was a lie and he was creating this atmosphere of distrust. I mean, that's going to be a challenge. Trump's people, on the other hand, has to say, well, there were these irregularities. Well, Your Honor and jury, we've got this video of them running ballots through three and four times. We've got, you know, the arena in Atlanta that had to be shut down and all the counting stopped and the poll watchers left, except that the counting then began as soon as the poll watchers left. There's no chain of custody. Try taking that to court if you're the communist side and proving that it was just perfect. It's easy to say. Chris Krebs said it after the election. Oh, yeah, it was perfect. Most secure in history. And then Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, all of those people, they're going into these state legislature hearings with piles and piles of evidence, witnesses that saw cheating go on, witnesses that testified under oath. Donald Trump says, it's great, now we can finally get that into a court. He says here, for those rhinos, radical left Democrats, communists, Marxists, fascists, and others who say, don't look back, look forward. They either do not want to reveal the answers because they got away with murder, or are fools and cowards because we now know the answers to all of the fraud, irregularities, and cheating, and we cannot let it happen again. He refuses to just go forward like the other rhinos. I'm just going to go forward and forget what happened in the past. I mean, Ron DeSantis has even come out and said that Joe Biden is the legitimate president. No, General Flynn, when he was here, you may have heard it. I can't remember if it was in our interview or one of the lectures or speeches that he gave on campus, but he talked about the 50 governors of the United States and how that not one of them is fighting for election integrity. Not one of them will go back and consider the evidence from 2020. One was getting close to that office, Carrie Lake, but you see why they went so hard after her. She was ahead in the polls by 10% to Katie Hobbs. But somehow, thanks to Maricopa County, Katie Hobbs pulls it out. Another rigged election, for sure. There's so few, aren't there? If you do come forward and say it was rigged and stolen, you might be indicted. 18 people indicted along with Donald Trump, many of them attorneys. So even the attorney-client privilege of discussing strategy about how to expose this evil and how to fight against it, you can't have those discussions? Well, that's what Fannie Willis is essentially saying. She's a communist hack, just like Alvin Bragg, just like Jack Smith. It's all coordinated with Merrick Garland and, of course, the dear leader himself, Barack Hussein Obama. Even still, after four indictments, listen to this from the regime media as they're, actually, this is the one ahead where they're talking about his popularity. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Clip two, the montage.
I mean, the Republicans should be having a lot of concerns about Donald Trump once again leading them to defeat.
I mean, Donald Trump continues to play victimization politics. I'm a victim. You're a victim. What happens does finally provoke America to wake up? Will it be the mugshot? You know, face front, profile shot, intake number under his picture? Will he snarl at the mugshot? Will he smile during the mugshot? What will it be? Will it be some symbol like that? But something's got to happen because this country is right on the edge of something really horrific. You can just sense it. You can just sense it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just defenders of democracy here at home who worry about another Trump presidency. There are similar concerns overseas. The prospect of Trump in the Oval Office is almost too upsetting to even think about for most European governments. That's especially true in Germany.
In the name now of a bigger mission, protecting this country right now from the leader of a party he once served and has loved. That we as a nation and as a republic are not out of danger from Trump and Trumpism just yet.
Nicole Wallace looks like she's about to have a stroke there. These people are, what is wrong with them? Their hatred, it's this visceral hatred for the orange man. And here, even as they say this, I mean, here we're right on the edge. Something has to happen. Something has to happen to stop him from ever becoming president again. What will it be? Will it be the mugshot? Will he snarl? Will he smile? The mugshot, here's our prediction. The mugshot is going to become a collector's item. How about that? The mugshot is going to help boost his popularity. Tonight they've got, well, who is it, Fox? Fox News hosting the Republican debates? And then you've got opposite of that, you've got President Trump sitting down with Tucker Carlson. Who is going to win that ratings battle? These delusional people, they don't know what to do. They've tried everything. Something's got to happen. I mean, the country's teetering on the edge, and it is. I'll agree with that guy on that point. But in their minds, the only thing that has to happen, the only thing that must happen, is Donald Trump has to be blotted out. And along with it, just like we've said in America Under Attack, the nation itself has to be blotted out. Listen to the fake president. He's over there. I mean, you hear how they go after Donald Trump. And then he's over there saying, you know, he's lying, basically. He's telling the people of Hawaii, I mentioned this yesterday, so the clip's from a couple days ago, but he's over there lying, saying that he can empathize with the people of Maui because, well, in 2004, his wife nearly died in a fire. He nearly lost his Corvette and his kitty cat. And it's a lie. You listen to an AP report. It says a small fire contained to the kitchen that was under control in 20 minutes. And the fake president is over there spreading, again, a fake narrative about his life. He's done this so many times before. So you see that at the start of this montage. But then look at how these drones in the media, the regime media, look at what lengths they'll go to defend that kind of thing. This is clip one.
I don't want to compare difficulties, but we have a little sense, Jill and I, what it's like to lose a home. And lightning struck at home on a little lake. It's outside of our home, not a lake, a big pond. And hit a wire and came up underneath our home into the heating ducts, the air conditioning duct. To make a long story short, I almost lost my wife, my 67 Corvette, and my cat. But all kidding aside, and they ran into flames, saved my wife and saved my family. Not a joke. And we were insured. We did not have any problem. But being out of our home for better part of a year was difficult.
Never been before. We are a community that relies on family, on ohana, whether by blood or by friendship. But like many others, my son's home burned down. My daughter's home burned down.
Everybody in these newspapers glowing,
wow,
the coverage, thanking the president for being there, saying it made such a difference, that he and Jill were so empathetic, they were so giving, they gave them hope. And again, just read the papers.
I mean, there's a lot of forces at play here right now. He did serve as empathizer in chief after 5 days of being mostly silent on the issue publicly. But
I think his empathy, his stories, his way he connects with voters are why he won the 2020 presidential election. He has empathy and a connection with voters that press and DC pundits like me don't fully give him enough credit for. And I think
President Biden was very warmly received there. And I think also that the president has a unique capacity to connect with people and express empathy for what they've been going through.
Very warmly received, she says. Not according to some of the pictures I've seen on social media, ones that I can't very well show you. Not warmly received. He's over there lying to victims that lost everything. There's, in some cases, entire families. And there's still, what, like 1,000 missing? This is from the Daily Mail. Because you've got to go to the Daily Mail to actually get a little bit of truth about the scandals happening in the United States. The real scandals, I mean. FEMA officials are staying at a $1,000 a night luxury hotel in Maui amid recovery efforts in Lahaina. $1,000 per night. And you know what the federal government gave to these victims? $700. They lost their livelihoods in some cases. They lost family members. And Uncle Sam's cutting a check for $700 and a check for $1,000 per night, because FEMA's there to help. It took Joe Biden 13 days to get there because he was vacationing in Delaware initially. Then he had to go to, what, Nevada somewhere? Forget the name of the resort. Staying in the house of a billionaire This is living large, these people. Living on our dimes. Sending FEMA to these luxury hotels. And meanwhile, the ordinary people that really are connected to Joe Biden, he really connects. I mean, he's the empathizer in chief, and voters just love him. Really? Keep saying it. It's a lot of wishful thinking. Keep saying it. Where, by the way, where's the dear leader? Wasn't he born in Hawaii? Isn't that his hometown? Doesn't he have a house there? You would think the dear leader and his wife would make an appearance. Well, you get Joe Biden finally 13 days later, and he's over there lying about a kitchen skillet fire in an attempt to identify, I guess, with these people that have had their entire estates go up in an inferno. All of this happening. And then, of course, the backdrop to all of this is that this family, for years, has been getting away with crimes, and these are crimes that are just right out in the open. This was a clip from Jesse Waters' program just the other night, clip 5.
If a guy who runs a jet company lets me fly his jet around the world to meet clients for free and we all share the money, we're in business together. And we know that the Bidens were trying to hide their business from us. Just as Ukraine started paying Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden tried to drop his Secret Service protection. Why would the son of the vice president traveling to foreign nations refuse Secret Service protection with years left on his father's term? Joe Biden must have been made aware that his son was marching through foreign lands without agents protecting him. The Bidens knew what they were doing was wrong. We requested the flight manifests from 8 years of Air Force Two, and the Biden White House is refusing to hand them over. So when you're using burner phones, 17 shell companies, and dodging taxes, you're kind of announcing you're committing crimes.
They knew they were getting away with crimes, which is why they tried to cover it all up with the shell companies, the burner phones, and so on. He makes a good point. Now that it's all known, I mean, that in itself is like an announcement. We're criminals. We tried to hide it. We didn't get away with it, though. The bribery schemes, all of it. They sold out America, and it continues. And the dear leader, he was right there. All of this, I mean, it was up in motion long before Bo Biden died. These were not calls of comfort and empathy between Joe Biden and his distraught son. I say distraught in the addicted to cocaine sense. He was the bag man, collecting the money and snorting the cocaine and spending all that time with prostitutes. This is the family leading the coup de public, or at least it's in the Oval Office at the moment, this family. The real leader, of course, is Barack Obama. Getting back to the crime family, this is from Jonathan Turley. He says, then the case became anything but a laughing matter for Democrats. The plea deal agreement, that collapsed. He's just going on these recent hits that the Biden crime family has been taking. A lot of their legal battles are not going so well. But even still, Garland coming under pressure to look like he's being fair and objective. He appoints David Weiss, the special counsel, and then he came under fire for that because Weiss has been the one trying to cover it up, trying to help cover up the Biden crimes, trying to get Hunter off the hook. I don't have time to get into all the specifics here, maybe just a couple paragraphs. Then the FBI agent spoke to Congress and confirmed testimony of the IRS agents, including that Hunter Biden was tipped off on an attempt to interview him. The New York Times, which has spent years downplaying the Hunter Biden scandal, has published an internal account of the investigation. The Times reported that U.S. Attorney David Weiss was actually preparing to let Hunter walk without requiring a guilty plea on any charges. And then that blew up. And then now he's having to change his tune. These people are they're being caught red-handed, exposed for the criminal activity that they've been engaged in for years and years and years. And meanwhile, what are they going after Rudy Giuliani on? Well, for thinking and saying that the election of 2020 was stolen. The coup, as I said at the top, just to echo the Issues and Insights piece, the coup is out in the open. Everyone now can see it. For much more on it, make sure that you request your free copy of America Under Attack. We've been distributing a lot of these this week. And if you don't have your own, your very own copy, make sure you call our operators today. The number is 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The moment of resignation with President Trump, you know, Mike Pence could have said, I actually apologized to Mike Pence prior. Mike Pence could have said, you know what, Mike and I spoke about it. Mike Flynn and I spoke about it. I accept his apology. You know, we got a country to run, right? Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's move forward. And no. So, you know, I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's something my mother taught me. And so I'll say nasty things about people, but I think the worst people that we have are in our political system, honestly. I mean, especially those that have been around there for a long time. And I think the worst of the worst are people who fake their faith. So those people that fake their faith, to me, and are in politics, they're the worst people that we can have leading our country. And, you know, you can't pretend. And frankly, you can't pretend with the American people.
This is a theme we've picked up on for years now. The recent trumpet comes to mind from a few months ago, the fake and phony world that we're in. And the truth of it is, there's a lot of fakery in religion today as well. A lot of hypocrisy. Jesus encountered this. There was one point where Jesus said to his followers, look, listen to what these people in Moses' seat, listen to what they're saying and heed it. Now, don't follow what they do because they're hypocrites. They're fake. They say one thing and they do another. The sin of hypocrisy. This is from Mark 7 and verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? I mean, they were guilty. Look, they didn't wash their hands. Indict them. Indict, send him to prison. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Just like the people over in Ezekiel 33, read the whole chapter, but note those last 5-6 verses. They love to hear the message, but they won't do it. James 1, 21, 22, it says, if you hear but you don't do, you're deceiving yourself. A lot of people in this world are deceiving themselves with words. It says in verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, human traditions, human reasoning. Isaiah in Isaiah 1:18 says that you've got to come and reason together with God. Otherwise, we just get caught up into all kinds of dangerous human reasoning. And it is dangerous because the proverb says there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it might seem right. It might seem like the way to go. It might seem like, well, this is the path we need to be on. But look at where it ends. That's why, that's another reason why we have to judge by fruits, by the actions. Verse 8 here says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, and that you may keep your own tradition. Look at how over and again, you lay aside the commandment of God, you reject the commandment of God, and you uphold and defend and surrender to the commandments of men. You revere the commandments and the traditions of men. But if it's of God, well, what does the Bible say about the built-in hostility that human nature has for the law of God? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Verse 13, it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. See, when we say but don't do, when we're fake Christians, we make the word of God of no effect. There's no power there. I mean, the Bible, God speaks of the Bible as a powerful weapon of war, a sword. But that sword can get pretty dull and ineffective if we don't use it for its God-intended purpose. Use it as the weapon it is. Don't make the Word of God of no effect through your traditions. There's so many things that people do in this world that are based on nothing more than human tradition, and people just do it without ever proving it, seeing if it's biblical, seeing if it's something that they should do or shouldn't do based upon God's position, based upon God's view. Notice Galatians 1 and verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You mean there's such a thing as another gospel? Now you go to various churches in the world today and you'll hear about the gospel of this or the gospel of that. Which one's right? Well, and is there only one? Paul was very openly saying that, you know, look, you've turned to something that's not biblical. You've turned to false doctrine. This is from Mystery of the Ages. It says, as apostasy from Christ's truth gained momentum, much of the church was turning to a different and counterfeit gospel, proclaiming Christ as Savior, but omitting entirely that sin is the transgression of God's spiritual law. And the good news of the kingdom of God, the removal of Satan, and the restoration of the government of God over the earth, and the final opening of salvation to all humanity, who, when judged, would repent, believe, and receive eternal life as sons of God, as actual God beings. I mean, this is our hope. This is the hope for the whole world. By the end of it, everyone who's ever lived will have had an opportunity to come along into the family of God. Today, though, I mean, Satan's obviously not been put away yet. And the Bible speaks of that in Revelation 20 and other places. But, you know, the Bible also speaks of what Satan has done to much of religion in the world today. Again, you base it on Revelation 12:9, the whole world is deceived. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about preachers coming who preach another Jesus that Paul didn't preach, preaching another gospel. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Oh, in other words, fake ministers. Can that be true? Are there any fake ministers out there that have transformed themselves into false apostles? Well, there were in Paul's day. And like he says here in Galatians 1, I'm just shocked that you received the truth and then you just turned aside so quickly, so soon removed. And then he says in verse 7, speaking of this other gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. If it was possible, or if it was happening in the first century, false ministers perverting the gospel of Christ, could it happen today? Does it happen in our day? This is from an article Herbert Armstrong wrote. That last quote I gave to you was from Mystery of the Ages. Make sure we haven't plugged that in a few days, but make sure you call our operators and request Mystery of the Ages. If you want to understand God's awesome purpose and plan, the incredible human potential, just request Mystery of the Ages. The 800 number is 1-866-930-3024. This is an article that Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1979. He said, in God's church, in our day, self-appointed scholars rose up in what they called a doctrinal committee, devoting themselves not to discovering any new truth, but trying to disprove the true doctrines Jesus Christ put into his church through his apostle and inject false doctrines into the church of God. I mean, that's just been the history. You have these false ministers that rise up and they want to water down the truth or change the truth of God into a lie. And you can't let that happen. You've got to put your trust, your faith in God and look to the Bible as your guide. Look to the Bible as your instruction manual, as your guidebook for living. It says here, this very thing happened in the days of the Apostle Paul and the original apostles, and Satan did blind and deceive those who with honest hearts had accepted God's truth. Then Mr. Armstrong says this, brethren, do we think we are so superior to those of the first, second, and third centuries that Satan could not have tried to pervert God's truth today? We're not superior to those of the first century. In fact, Jesus in the first century said, when I return, he is returning, but when I return, am I going to find any faith on earth? Or is it going to be all fakery? He didn't say that part, but he said, am I going to find any faith? Look it up. Look it up. I think it's in Luke 18. Jesus looking ahead to our time, our sophisticated age, our modern age, our age of modern education. And he prophesied, is there going to be any faith left? People actually looking to God, looking to the God of the Bible, looking to the Bible as our information or our guidebook for living? Well, look around. Look at how many people they want to burn this and destroy this. And others who refer to it, so many others who refer to it often maybe, they don't really read it or study it. They don't really look into the Bible, look into God's Word, and then say, okay, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to use. Hearers and doers. Notice 1 Timothy 4 here in verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, listen to this, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits. There's a real spirit world. And it's more active in carrying out acts of evil than ever before because, as Revelation 12 says, Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth and they're now confined to the surface of this earth. This is why our nation is going through this turmoil that we're going through. And the whole world, look around. Look around as nations gather together, and a lot of them in opposition to the United States and Britain. Mr. Armstrong had a lot to say about that in the booklet by that name, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That's another classic. It's a must-have as far as prophetic, you know, text is concerned. It says in 2 John 9 and verse, or rather 2 John 9, there's just the one chapter, but it says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any man unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. God says, just, you know, shut that influence out. Don't let them in. If they're trying to deceive you with false doctrine, there are true doctrines based on the Bible, and there are false doctrines. We have an entire course here at Armstrong College that just methodically and in a detailed way goes through the many teachings, the doctrines of God's church. And, you know, as I tell the students every time we go through this course, as you'll see when we go through this study together, those doctrines must be, they have to be, they are based on the Word of God. A couple of emails, the email address, by the way, that's td@thetrumpet.com. You can send us some feedback if you like. A few emails in response to the beehive of activity this week. I watched the two shows with General Flynn. Love all the open truth. Another one here says, all my expectation before part one of General Flynn's interview was delivered in part two. In part two, General Flynn seemed like a fish in water in his depth and taking us through an intense journey of the rolling coup with him as one of the main targets. You ended the interview leaving the audience wanting more. That's from Texas. And this one here says, this is from Illinois. The interview with General Flynn was excellent. I learned more knowledge and truth. He verified many of the things you have written and talked about. The truth is so sweet and easy to understand. Thank you all so much for your relentless effort. I appreciate it so much because my knowledge, courage, strength, perseverance, wisdom, and self-control has been exponentially developed because of the Trumpet Magazine and the Philadelphia Church of God. Some nice feedback, some nice comments here from some of you. This one comes from Florida. It says, wow, what an amazing special TD broadcast yesterday and the speaking event Monday night. I just finished watching part two of the interview, and I have to say it gave me the shivers. Why? Because of the fact that Flynn is a true witness to all those events which took place. He lived it. It does not matter what any of those talking heads said about him in the past or still say now in the present. People can believe the media who spreads lies or look at the hardcore facts from someone who lived through it and is still enduring it. It says here, this is how you know Flynn is telling the truth. Pathological liars tend to forget easily the details to their stories and change their narratives quite often, or they just make stuff up about their lives, their past, their families. It says we see it every day in the news, making excuses along the way as to why they tend to forget. They have so many lies circulating, excuses along the way, they can't keep track of them, whereas those who tell the truth, especially those who firsthand lived through something, they don't forget the details, and their narrative does not change. That's a nice bit of feedback coming in from Florida. And we have more, but that's all that we have time for on today's show. You are listening to, or perhaps watching, Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.